Welcome to this edition of Chiefs Live, everyone. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, with you, along with Chiefs insider Reed Farron. He's done an awesome job, buddy. You're just nailing it this off season. I feel like it's kind of the day after a New York Stock Exchange. There's been so much action going on around this team. There's been a little bit of a lull, but it doesn't quite stop. And, of course, we're rolling forward to the last weekend in April when the Chiefs will start the National Football League draft, having the first pick. But overall now, with this little bit of lull after it was just something, not only every day, it was something every morning, every afternoon, every evening of every day.
Yeah, if it's not a general manager signing, a new head coach signing, free agent signing, now we have the Brandon Edwards stuff, which we'll get to. Like you said, we've talked about Christmas in the past. Things just look up and up for this Chiefs team.
Well, maybe this is like New Year's Eve after That's Christmas. Right. But good feeling nonetheless as the Chiefs do indeed go to a new year. Let's talk about Brandon Edwards signing his tender now that it's official. It was rumored the last 3 days that he had done it. This is much different than the way Dwayne Bowe handled it last year. So the Chiefs decide to franchise Brandon Edwards, and Brandon has signed his tender. Your analysis on this?
I think that's the great way to go. Obviously, you don't have to worry about a holdout situation come training camp. There's no distraction. He will be there. I mean, again, we're talking about a 28-year-old. He's 5 years under his belt. And we were talking before the show, he's allowed one sack in his 13 games last season. And allowed 27 and a quarter sacks. So, obviously, he's a quality player. The first day I started, he sought me out. So, he's a great person, obviously, to talk to. But it's going to be interesting to see now what happens with Brandon Edwards moving forward.
Again, he did have his best year of his career last year, only allowing the one sack. There was only one hold. His false starts were way down. If you look at him compared to the other left tackles in the league, it was really a very, very, very good year for him. And you alluded to the fact that he sought you out as soon as you got it. He's been a great locker room guy. Not a good locker room guy, a great locker room guy.
Right.
And the fact that he fought through that back injury, he wanted to play last year in a 2-14 season. Maybe he tried to play too much, in my opinion. But this is a good person, a good man. He had to deal with the loss of his mother. He did a lot last year. Again, a guy that is solid for this franchise if he's the left tackle going into 2013.
And above that even, just the way he mentored the guys coming up, the Don Stevensons and whatnot, and you see him talking to his guys about he being the big brother role, teaching, guiding, directing, leading by example, not being a distraction in the locker room. So on the field, great. Off the field, even better with his teammates.
The one thing Brandon has to deal with here, and this is a big one, is the injury. We don't know about the back issue, how he can rehab it going into the offseason. Let's be honest. Of the 5 years in the league, Reed, he's only played all 16 games one time, and that was in 2011. Even going back to his rookie season, where he basically missed all of the preseason games, being hurt early in camp. So for BA, the health is an issue, and it's something that the Chiefs and John Dorsey and Andy Reid have got to feel confident about going into the 2013 season.
And we all know anyone who's had a back injury, back injuries are horrible. So especially being his size, at his position, being that left tackle, protecting the blind side, that's just an extra thing to overcome. But we know that obviously when he wants to get out there, he's going to do everything he can to be there.
And he's been there, done that, believe mm-hmm. me. But back surgery, it's no fun. Now, a couple things here in just dealing with Brandon's situation. The fact that he decides to sign the tender and go ahead and, you know, I've never understood, because when you get around the folks from NFLPA, you get the franchise tag. It's like, whoa, okay, I got to hold out. He's guaranteed now nearly mm-hmm. $10 million. And knowing Brandon, that's real good for Brandon and for him and his future to be guaranteed that money. So in this instance, the fact that he has signed the tender, interested in all the newness going around here, what does that tell you about him instead of kind of pulling the role of, well, I'm not going to go to camp and maybe you'll see me the week before the first regular season game?
Yeah, that's interesting, Mitch, you talk about. Like at the league meetings, obviously, there was discussion. I saw John Clayton had talked about there's rumors, speculation out there that the Miami Dolphins are looking at, obviously, replacing Jake Long, who they lost to the Rams. They're looking at possibly offering the Chiefs, again, total speculation, but it's out there. John tweeted it. Offering a second-round pick for Brandon. So the speculation's there, but we know that John Dorsey, Andy Reid, they know what's going on. They're in control, and, again, they're finding the best fit possible for the 2013 roster.
Yeah, and people have discussed about Brandon moving to guard. I've been one of those that have talked about it. He played guard at Virginia. DeBrickashaw Ferguson at UVA was the tackle, and Brandon was the guard. Brandon's pretty much said, hey, I'm a tackle. I mean, mm-hmm. he doesn't It's not like he's running out there going, yeah, okay, I'll play guard. I'll do fine with it. But the fact that he signed this franchise tender, even if they do move him to guard, he would still get that money. It's guaranteed under the rules of the franchise agreement. But let's go to your trade. Your thoughts now, if the Dolphins are involved in giving a second for Brandon Albert, and what the Chiefs can do with that pick, and if that's something that's tantalizing to them.
Yeah, that's the fine line being in this business. You know better than anybody. You've been here longer than me, but the emotional attachment you get with players, getting to know them on a personal side, as well as what they do on the field, but then what's best for this team. And since he was hired, John Dorsey and Andy Reid have talked about, all we want is what's best for the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you look at it on both sides, there's two sides of the coin. One, we keep Brandon Albert. He's proven if he can stay healthy, overcome that back injury, you know, he's going to protect Alex Smith. But on the other side of it, looking at that second round pick that we gave up for Alex Smith, that's the other side of the coin. Wow, if we could get that pick back and have our franchise quarterback, it seems like a win-win either way.
Here's a look at we're going to transition here now as we go into the draft, because if they do trade Brandon Albert, then people think, well, okay, well, they'll take Luke Joeckel, and there's your left tackle with that 1-1 pick. Here's what the Chiefs have as of now. Now let's transition in to that second, third-round pick, the compensatory pick, the 96th pick overall in this draft. But there's no second-round pick. So before we get the compensatory pick, to have that hole in the second-round field, you've talked about it, I've talked about it, Kendall's talked about it, we've all talked about it. It would be nice to get that second-round pick back from the Alex Smith trade somehow.
Right, and you and I both are draft junkies, so even being on day two, having some activity for the Chiefs is going to be great, but also, even more importantly, to improve this ball club with a pick. You never want to sit and watch draft pass you by like you and I talked about before the show. So having an extra pick in that second round, and you know John Dorsey's going to make the most of it there with Andy Reid behind him. So, yeah, it'd be a great benefit.
Yeah, again, the way the draft is set up this year, or has been the last couple of years, the Chiefs would have the 1-1, and as it stands now, you'd watch that whole first day go by. Then here comes the second day, and you watch the whole second round go by. Mm-hmm. For me, you get a little nervous, okay? I don't want to feel like some other teams in the division have sat there and watched complete days go by without picking. Now, let's get to that compensatory pick, particularly the 96th overall. How surprised were you the Chiefs got this third-round compensatory pick?
You know, I feel like we have to write some thank yous possibly to Brandon Carr, Laron McClain, Barry Richardson, because basically they performed well enough and outperformed what we gave up with the players that we had, both Peyton Hillis and Brady Quinn. So that enabled us to get the two picks, especially at the positions we talked about in that third and sixth round. So anytime you add two picks to your draft, again, we have eight total as we stand right now, that's a plus for the Chiefs.
Yeah, let me give you an idea, because I went back and looked. So it's the 96th overall pick. Now, here's the history of the compensatory draft picks. This won't exactly melt your laptop. But Ryan Succop, who was Mr. Irrelevant in 2009. Now, Colquitt in 05. This one does get your attention, because Colquitt was exactly where this pick was slotted, or close, I should say,
yep.
Because Colquitt was the 99th pick that year in 05. So that's about, that gives you an idea of what you can get here quality-wise. I mean, Colquitt's going to end up being a franchise player or for the history of the franchise. I'll give you another one. Moyaki was not a compensatory pick, but he was a 93rd pick. So in that range of the late 90s, how much quality can you get there?
I'm pretty sure back in 05, not many people saw Dustin Colquitt as being a Pro Bowl punter. All of a sudden, here we are, 2012, there he is doing his thing for us on special teams, pinning teams inside the 20. So anytime we get that extra pick, knowing that what we can do the most, make the most of it, I mean, win-win situation for Kansas City.
Yeah, and would have had an NFL record for punts inside the 10 had not Dave Zastadil right. Takes him out right at the end. But here's again, you don't have to worry about this. We'll get into maybe Thomas Gafford in a little bit. Believe me, in this league, there's times if you don't have a punter like this guy, you're bringing in busloads of dudes and trying them out, and it caused a lot of anxiety around a football team. But to give that compensatory pick and then to get another pick coming in, who knows what happens with that second compensatory pick, but you see it coming up in that 204th overall, the 36th pick of the sixth round. But, hey, the draft history of Andy Reid and John Dorsey, they've proven they'll find some jewels in that sixth round.
I think that's where Dorsey prides himself, in those late rounds, on those late days. People think, who's watching? You know John Dorsey is, and he has guys all over the country, his scouts, his coaches, out finding those best fits for our team next year.
We're going to get into the draft just a little bit more and see on your opinion, Reed, kind of what happens here with the Chiefs and what they've been able to do to this point and how that affects that 1-1 pick with the draft. But again, this is a pretty good lineup, but it'd be nice to add a little cut and paste and put a round two pick in there for the Chiefs. When we come back, we're going to check in and talk about the owners' meetings a little bit. And Andy Reid was able to give some pretty profound thoughts, really. That's kind of sets a lot of discussion throughout the Chiefs' kingdom in speaking at the owners' meetings and maybe what the Chiefs will do at that 1-1 and throughout this draft. When we come back, we'll check in with the Chiefs' head coach.
Just because it's springtime doesn't mean you have to miss out on football. That's right, there's no off-season for Chiefs fans, and that's why there's a show for those who want to stay close to their favorite team all year long. It's Red and Gold. Red and Gold will take you around town, Arrowhead, and into the lives of players and coaches like no other show. Check local listings for dates and times. It's Red and Gold.
Corona Light presents Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney. And Eric Church. Eli Young Band. And introducing Casey Musgraves. Saturday, June 15th at Arrowhead Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Available at all Ticketmaster ticket outlets. Kenny Chesney and friends in concert.
Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not going to catch it. Derek Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the Kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
Welcome back to this edition of Chiefs Live, right in the middle of March Madness. Hey, it's been madness with the Chiefs. I would say goodness, actually. It's been January, February, late December, March goodness the Chiefs, and headed into April goodness. Reed Farron with me, the Chiefs insider. And Andy Reid, the owner's meeting's going on, and I just love Andy Reid's quotes and how he talks. He doesn't shy away from anything. He's pretty candid and forthright about things. He might speak in code. Just a little bit, but we're all intrigued with what Andy had to say yesterday.
Right, and one of the pointed questions he was obviously asked is, do we have wide receivers on this team that can make plays down the field? And let me read you the direct quote from Coach. He said, you don't think of Dwayne Bowe as a speed receiver. You think of him as a big, strong, physical guy, which he is, but you've got Donnie Avery and Devin Wiley, and Scott, who was here before, brought him in. Both those two possess a lot of speed. That helps you with your deep threat. It really helps all the way around, taking the top off the defense and helping you with the short, intermediate game. So in the long and short of it, yeah, you think of Dwayne as the big, strong guy, not the deep threat. But then our deep threats are the free agent we brought in, Donnie Avery, Devin Wiley, both speed guys. I mean, they're running sub-4 40s, so they have the threats. Now it's just the pass-catching ability and to see what they can do behind Alex Smith.
Bo, we talked about Bo a little bit in the West Coast offense, so key. One, to be precise in routes, catch everything. If he does catch it, he is one of the most fearsome tackle breakers in the National Football League. He's proven that because he's been at the near the top of broken tackles. It's just a matter of being consistent and catching the football, and so that Alex Smith can rely on Bo to be where he wants to be every time. Not some of the time, but every time. But again, I think the coaching of this staff could be key, and the fact that Dwayne Bowe will be here for OTAs in the offseason and the preseason will be paramount and to be here and to be coached by these guys.
It was great when I got to have a phone conversation with Dwayne just talking about the transaction, and one of the things that surprised me was I said, what was your thought process in this whole free agency, possibly the franchise tender process? And he said he didn't have a thought process. He knew that he was going to be with the Kansas City Chiefs, And when John Dorsey and Andy Reid came in, they pursued him. They showed him respect. They showed that he wanted them. And he put all his chips to the center of the table and wants to come. And he cited he loves researching Andy Reid's wide receivers. He knows he's an offensive mind, which you and I both know, Mitch. And he cited DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin. He said he wants to be a playmaker like those guys. And we both know he's got the potential. The sky's the limit for him. If he can stay healthy, which we plan that he will in 2013, look out.
Yeah, weapon on the outside, as you see on the video. And then the passes, like those skinny posts, the slants, the deep outs. I mean, sorry, the deep crosses that are part of the West Coast offense. Now, a guy that has been lost in somewhat of the discussion, really since the end of the year, and we'll put him back up here again on screen, is John Baldwin. There have been flashes, a 39-yard touchdown here, the 57-yard play there. John Baldwin, and where does he fit in now to the new regime, the West Coast offense, Alex Smith, Dwayne Bowe, the guys you mentioned? What about Baldwin?
So Coach was asked that same question at the league meetings, and he said basically John's got the long speed, not deep speed or fast speed really per se, deep, but he's got skills that need still to be developed. And to continue to work with him, obviously working with Coach Cully, there's no better wide receivers coach in this game who can help in that developmental process. But as you mentioned, Mitch, 2 touchdowns in his 2 years, 41 receptions in his 2 years, and his long touchdown of 57 yards. So that tween range. But again, Cully working with Baldwin, it's got to be, hopefully things will be looking up in 2013.
Yeah, and I like the video that Kevin Bradmer has put together here on John Baldwin, because it shows you maybe what he can bring to the huddle and to the package here. Because sometimes we saw him line up as kind of in a flex tight end position. Here's just a jump ball play. He can do that too, as is Bo. Bo's best plays really have been on those jump ball nine routes from the numbers to the boundary. But because of Baldwin's size and his strutting ability, here, he lines up on this play against the Saints in like a flex tight end position. So you can get some mismatch issues. He's going to make this play more often. Catching the slant, beating a corner, that's what X's have to do. But again, for Baldwin, there are some things, and he does bring a skill set that hopefully can be amplified by Andy Reid and his coaching staff. There you go. There's a big play. That's his biggest play of his career against the Carolina Panthers in that early December victory. But it's maximizing the skill, finding out what he can do with his size and his ability.
We'll talk draft prospects in a little bit, kind of similar to Cordarrelle Peterson, who once he gets the ball in his hands, he's explosive. He can do great things once he gets the ball in his hands. So the route running, sharpen the route running, obviously catching the ball and then taking off with it. Hopefully we'll see more of that, bigger plays in the next season.
But you touched on it, Reed, and what this team needs is somebody to burn. Mm-hmm. And it is the Chiefs franchise really has not had a guy that can just zip by everybody. Wiley last year was electric at times in the OTAs and in during the preseason. Everybody was kind of buzzing about him. He's got to stay healthy. It did not translate to the regular season. But it appears that Wiley does have the attention of Andy Reid and Doug Peterson and this offensive staff.
You know, I'd like to see a foot race between Wiley and Avery. We both have both the speedsters now. 4.39 40 for Wiley, 4.240 at the combine for Avery. So both have explosiveness. They can run the deep route, like Coach said, taking the top off the defense, which Alex Smith has the arm, like Kendall said last week, to get the ball to them. Mm-hmm. Like you said last week, we haven't had the deep threat. We need more big plays. And that's what Coach Reid went after this offseason.
Yeah, you got to clean that safety out of there. Otherwise, those safeties sit in there on those routes. They sit on the slants. And here's Donnie Avery doing his thing with Andrew Luck last year. 60 catches coming back from the knee injury. We both had the chance to talk to this kid. He's kind of an engaging personality, quite honestly. And I'm excited what he can do. And his first year with the Rams, really, really good. Last year, good. Had the drop against the Ravens during the playoffs, which gets everybody's attention. But if the Chiefs have somebody in the slot that can just run by people and make those safeties just a little nervous on Saturday night when they're at the hotel room before the game, it would be something that would be news for the Kansas City Chiefs.
And I promise you, Donnie Avery has not forgotten that drop. He's going to keep living that in his mind over and over again until he gets to training camp, and then it's on.
And we haven't mentioned Dexter McCluster and kind of where he fits into all this, because he's kind of that, he's the slot guy too. I mean, he basically was declared that last year. And this is, I mean, he's as tough as they come. It's a matter of finding the open slot and a kind of a wild card. It could be, you know, kind of a Westbrook guy for Andy Reid. I don't know. But he'll catch it. We've seen him can create big plays. It's just a matter of staying healthy, being consistent, and being a compliment to all the guys we've mentioned.
Yeah, my dad used to call guys like Dexter McCluster water bugs. They're all over the place. Just boom, up and out everywhere. Fast, speed guys, good hands. And Coach Reid talked about it. He likes what Dexter McCluster brings to the table. He likes his skills, his explosiveness. So now Coach Peterson, Coach Reid, to get him in the positions, you know, coming out of the backfield, widening up, lining up as wide receiver, to get him in position to make plays, look out.
Yeah, there you go. You used a touchdown against the Raiders on a college-type bubble screen. You saw him in the Wildcat. He brings a lot of diversity to it, and he's a good locker room guy,
great.
And he's tough. However, I still look at this draft class in the wide receiver position, and I wouldn't mind picking up one of these guys. Now, you're at the Senior Bowl, you're at the Combine. What are you seeing out of this wide receiver core?
I tell you, there's three guys, and I've researched lately, but Cordarrelle Patterson, Tavon Austin, those are the two guys. Looking at watching NFL Network yesterday, Mike Mayock has those two as the two most explosive guys in the draft, regardless of position. And those two are both lightning up, deep threats, speed guys, strength, good hands. Patterson does need to work on his route running, he talked about, and the explosiveness with the ball. But he has all the skills, all the intangibles, and be a great fit wherever he goes. And so he's got those intangibles that are going to make him a great receiver at this next level. And same with Tavon Austin, speed guy, strength, and just a very down-to-earth, humble guy when we talk to him at the Combine.
Yeah, Tavon, just explosive plays. I mean, he's his speed will just kind of blur here. You see it here in doing it against Oklahoma and quality competition. Seems to be kind of a Dexterish type body size, but again, kind of that Olympic kind of sprinter speed.
Mm-hmm.
Cordarrelle Patterson, I followed this kid ever since he came. He played junior college football in Kansas. Of course, the Jayhawk JUCO is like an NFL rookie league, basically. And Cordarrelle was good there. Decides to go to Tennessee. Here's intrigue to me in picking up this guy. Another guy, Keenan Allen, a wide receiver out of Cal, who's kind of shot up the board and thought to be right around where Cordarrelle would be in the picks. But people are going, wait a minute, Chiefs won't even have that pick. Those guys will be mid to late first round. They'll be off the board. They're not going to be there. If the Chiefs don't have a second pick, they're sure not going to be there in their third or fourth round. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy Reid talked about Geno Smith yesterday. Okay.
There's no better guy. He'd be a great poker player. You know, he's holding those cards close to his chest. He knows what he's doing, and he's going to play them. You know, he loves to play with the media, be sincere with them, obviously, but he's never going to, you know, slip his card to show his hand at any point. But when you have this pick, and that's one of the other comments he talked about at the owners' meetings, when you have this voluminous of a pick, this crucial pick, you're not going to waste it, but you are going to make the most out of it. And that's what the dynamic duo, like we talked about, Dorsey and Reid, that's what they're going to do.
Well, we're going to jump in the rest of you because it's discussed every day. Let's take the 1-1. Now, there is equity in the 1-1 pick. And people are saying, well, they got Alex Smith, so they must not be interested in Geno Smith. To create equity in the 1-1 pick, you take Geno Smith with the 1-1 pick and then possibly set up a trade. Let's just go back to the 04 draft. Remember, Eli Manning did not want to go to San Diego. So they do a draft day, first round, switch him, get him kind of thing. And all of a sudden, now you go ahead and draft the guy, but he becomes your property. You then dictate where Geno Smith is going to go in this draft. It's an intriguing prospect. It's maybe more, you know, locker room discussion than anything else. However, Andy Reid didn't rule this out.
No.
Either taking Geno Smith, where you got him then, or you can potentially trade him, and then all of a sudden you dictate where he's going to go so he can't go to another team that you may not want him to go to, picking third maybe in the draft. And then you pick up a middle-round pick where you get a Cordarrelle Patterson type.
Well, and Andy Reid spoke to it again at the owners' meetings, to the enormity of the pick. He has experience with these types of high-round picks, especially in the first, with Donovan McNabb. And he, again, said you don't want to waste it. We know that he's not, and we know that John Dorsey is right. And Andy Reid's been the first. When I've talked to him both at, you know, the Senior Bowl or the Combine, he said, this is John Dorsey's game. This is where he does his thing. I coach. And so, and John Dorsey does the same thing. He said, I'm going to get the guys, and I know when I do, I'm going to hand them over to Andy. And literally, quote unquote, he said, Andy's going to coach them up. And I can't wait to see what this recipe, what this end result is come OTAs, come mini camps, and then come start of the season.
Well, it excites me because I think that these guys that you see now on the video, well, they know the enormity of the pick, but there's equity in that pick.
Yep.
Beyond, I'm into a variety of circumstances that could do a lot of positive things for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, we mentioned last week it was like opening gifts on Christmas morning. But we all know Santa Claus isn't real. Wait a minute. Maybe Santa Claus is real, because as we were on the set opening our Christmas gifts, it looked like there is a real Santa coming down the chimney, because the word was coming out then that Sean Smith was going to be a Kansas City Chief, the most coveted corner in this free agent class. Your thoughts on Sean Smith? Now he's in. This is official. We can talk about it. And you had the chance to talk to him.
That's right. Great call. Great gift. We'll consider that for the Kansas City Chiefs. And John Dorsey had said that basically in Coach Sutton's 3-4 scheme, 85% of it's press man coverage, like we have there, press man coverage. And when you bring in a guy like Smith, 6'3", 218, and when I talked to him, he said his demeanor is aggressive. I said, if you had to describe your play, that's what word came out of his mouth, aggressive. He wants to be up on you. He's got long arms. He uses his size, his strength, his hands to be physical with that receiver, knock them off their starts, which any receiver will tell you, you know, getting out of the blocks is the first important thing in trying to run a good route. And Smith's going to prevent that from happening. And that's, you know, Coach Sutton, he can't be happier.
Yeah, Brendan Flowers loves to play press coverage. Mm. And to get a Sean Smith, to get a Dante Robinson can play in the slot, get Javier Arenas, so you can press up. We talked about the hybrid safety guys. This is really good, because quite honestly, at the top of the shopping list, when everybody was kind of doing their pre-free agent analysis, this guy was up there.
Yeah.
Up there. And now the fact that he's a Kansas City Chief with Dante Robinson, with Brendan Flowers, with Javier Arenas, you know, then you got a Jaleel Brown coming into camp and see what he can do. But to me, this is a big positive. This kind of takes you back to kind of the mid-90s glories days when you're running out there with guys like Dale Carter and James Hastie, and you're shutting people down.
And I failed to mention, you know, we have a little chemistry as well. Sean Smith played for and with Al Harris, our defensive secondary assistant. So Coach Harris has played with him and coached him, and that's what Sean spoke to. He can't wait when he came in here. He kind of compared it to the recruiting days. He got excited coming into the facility, getting shown the tour, meeting with the guys, the coaches. He said basically it was like a kid in a candy store back at the college days on his recruiting trips, and he can't wait to get going here with the Chiefs.
Well, this defense looks like it's really kind of coming together like a puzzle. We all know about the outside pass rushing threats of Tom Bahali and Justin Houston. We know about Derek Johnson being a Pro Bowler. We know about EB back there at safety, also a Pro Bowler. The defensive line seems to be coming together. DeVito's going to be a nice addition up there. Dontari Poe was coming on at the end of last season. However, there's one spot to me that kind of looks like a void there, kind of a what are the Chiefs going to do? And that is the Mike backer position in the 3-4. We come back. We're going to talk about this draft overall, get into the draft more, what the Chiefs have done to this point. What does that do? What does that tell us or not tell us about kind of the Chiefs' focus on this draft, but also the Mike backer position? And can you find a guy in this draft that you can now put into the rest of this puzzle of guys that we've talked about over the past month? We'll be back to talk about that and more when we return on Chiefs Live.
Just because it's springtime doesn't mean you have to miss out on football. That's right, there's no off-season for Chiefs fans, and that's why there's a show for those who want to stay close to their favorite team all year long. It's Red and Gold. Red and Gold will take you around town, Arrowhead, and into the lives of players and coaches like no other show. Check local listings for dates and times. It's Red and Gold.
Corona Light presents Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney. And Eric Church. Eli Young Band. And introducing Casey Musgraves. Saturday, June 15th at Arrowhead Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Available at all Ticketmaster ticket outlets. Kenny Chesney and friends in concert.
Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs. Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
Welcome back as we wrap up this edition of Chiefs Live. Some news again coming out. First of all, Thomas Gafford was signed.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back, Gaff. And we all think, well, you know, it's kind of a, really, Gaff, okay. Listen, I've seen busloads of guys trying to long snap around here, too. And we talked about it with Kendall. All 32 teams now have dedicated long snappers. If you find one, you put him in the safe deposit box. Plus, he's a great locker room guy. And the fact that he and Colquitt and suck up now stay together with that, the fact that Andy Reid doesn't have to worry about it is something you take for granted. Reid, the fact that these guys are very good, sometimes exceptionally good at what they do, there's a lot of things to work on here, and the fact that you don't have to sit there and fret about it is more than maybe any of us realize.
Trust and reliability are a coach's best friend. The last thing we want is to give Coach Reid another thing to worry about. And when you have a consistent, reliable, hardworking, and to your point, great locker room guy, you know, you and I go in there, we see Gaff with Colquitt suck up their lockers near each other, having a great time, working hard though, and to not have to worry about your special teams unit, you know, messing up, messing around. They're all about business. That's just a plus for Coach Reid.
And turn Dave Tobe loose with these guys. I cannot wait what this team is going to do on special teams and to be more explosive. Now, let's go, though, what the Chiefs have done. And everybody's kind of trying to speculate. What does this mean? We talked about the 1-1 a little bit, so we won't get into that. But overall, what the Chiefs have done to this point, where do you see the draft board and what the Chiefs do?
I'm kind of curious with the release of the free agents. We talked about Brian Urlacher, Dansby, guys like that, Larry Grant from the 49ers, taking a look at those free agents, but then thinking about the draft and prospects in the later rounds, what John Dorsey's going to decide to do, obviously meeting with his defensive staff. So names are out there, free agents. Obviously, Urlacher, kind of a surprise, stepping away with the Bears, not being able to reach an agreement. But do they go the way of the free agents, or do they build for the future? They've talked about using the draft to build this team for the future, so likely they'll go to the draft route.
Well, before we went to the break, I kind of teased you a little bit because you can see the corners coming together. You know the safeties are there. The defensive line starting to kind of piece together. We know what the outside linebackers are and Derek Johnson at that Will linebacker spot in Bob Sutton 3-4. It's the Mike backer position. Now, you see Urlacher pop up on the screen and you go, wait a minute, he'd be perfect there. But let's talk about draft guys at the Mike backer position for Andy Reid and who can play in there. And again, it's a little bit like Derek Johnson to have a Mike backer who can be on the field on all downs, not necessarily run him off if he's out there for first down and second down, or they go to a passing formation, now you got to run him off and make seven subs. It's better if you've got a guy that's skilled enough, a Luke Kuechly type, who was great last year for the Carolina Panthers. Let's talk about the Mike backers in this draft and if there's someone that could be sitting there in the third, fourth, fifth round that you could pick up and challenge to be a starting Mike backer surrounded by really good players.
Well, you mentioned it, Mitch. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you're advertising for a Mike backer position, you headline with Derek Johnson. Who wouldn't want to play behind or with DJ? And speaking of that, in the draft, taking a look at some of the guys, I like John Bostic out of Florida. He's kind of sitting around the third to fourth round projected. Tough guy down in the SEC playing for Will Muschamp. Obviously solid. He, you know, at the combine, he did really well. Again, 4.6 in his 40-yard time, 22 reps at 225, so he's got the strength. And, I mean, if you're playing linebacker at his level at the SEC, you're obviously solid. John Lotulelei at UNLV, not to be confused with Star. Obviously a very strong linebacker, ran a 4.8 40 bench. He has a 35-inch vertical, which coaches will be impressed with, obviously his vertical jump. rep 25 reps of 225, you know, so he's showing the strength there at the combine. So those are a couple of names. Obviously, I don't think that he's going to be available. Nico Johnson, possibly, but you can't beat a proven winner winning three championships at Alabama.
Kevin Redick, North Carolina, comes to mind, could be sitting in there in that third, fourth range. Let me just, another guy, that local guy, let's just put it out there because you can go fire up on Twitter, but A.J. Klein at Iowa State. You get some guy that's going to in there mix it up. He's a tackle machine. Would be great on special teams because ostensibly you'd like your Mike Backer to be out there on most special teams as well or have the ability to do that. But it, to me, it just seems like this defense is starting to look like a mid-90s Chiefs lead the league kind of defense potentially, but that spot is like the last piece of the puzzle to fill in.
And they say, you know, the old adage, defense wins championships. But again, Andy Reid, John Dorsey will put collectively, like you said, I like the puzzle analogy, get all these pieces in place. And once that thing's put together, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, what about, okay, let's say you don't do the 1-1, you're going to trade out of it, maybe. But a guy like Dee Milliner, I'm intrigued by him and his athletic ability in this draft, the corner from Alabama.
You can't, I mean, he wowed people at the combine. Obviously, he was up there. Tron Mathau from LSU was also impressive, but D was all over the place at his 40 time and specific drills, sharp with his feet, quickness, agility, lateral movement. He basically has it all. And again, playing at the elite level, championship level at Alabama under Nick Saban, you know, he's prime pickings come draft day.
Yeah, he looks Champ Bailey-ish to me.
I just
think this could be a, you know, a 12-year guy that's in the Pro Bowl, and be nice to see him in Chiefs red instead of with another team. But we all know that the Chiefs are gathering corners as we speak. You can't get enough corner in this day and age, particularly in this division with you-know-who quarterbacking you-know-who. But still, I'm intrigued with this guy and his athletic ability. Now let's go back to the offensive tackle position because Luke Jokel gets mentioned about it all the time. Eric Fisher, Lane Johnson is moving up the board. Those three guys are thought to be the guys. Have we seen any change from the Chiefs standpoint, do you think, or from the league standpoint, on those three tackles, where they're slotted and what could happen with them?
The names I've seen flip-flopped are basically Jokel, Fisher, 1-2, flipping back and forth. You know, Jokel's gotten most of the coverage, most of the hype, and well-deserved, you know, with what he's done. But the guy I was impressed with when we were both at the Senior Bowl, the Combine, Eric Fisher is as advertised. He has that chip on his shoulder, you know, Central Michigan just doing his thing, not really highly recruited. And that's what he said at the Combine. He said because he didn't get all those letters, he was going to go show people that they made a mistake. And he's bent on doing that at the NFL level as well.
Yeah, this guy, I'm real intrigued with Eric Fisher and watching more and more video on him. He looks like the real smoke. And again, coming out of the MAC, we showed video and Kendall broke him down against big time competition, though, against these games he had against Big Ten play. There he is going against Big Ten players. So, this guy looks like to be a can't miss, quite honestly, at left tackle in the National Football League. Now, another area that kind of gets lost in the shuffle, because we all talk about Jamaal Charles and what he has been in his fabulous season last year, in a 2-14 year to do what he did. But we all know there needs to be a complement to him. There needs to be that power guy or enough power and speed combination to make it a threat, because we also know Jamaal Charles can't carry the ball every time, even though he is a tough son of a gun. Power backs in this draft, someone who could fill a role of what the Chiefs thought they might have had with Peyton Hillis.
Kind of looking Big Ten, I like Le'Veon Bell out of Michigan State. Solid guy. He's kind of ram man type of mentality. Hard head, but obviously he can come out of the backfield, and who wouldn't like someone who has got some hands out of the backfield and can catch a screen pass from Alex Smith? But great run blockers, got the size. He's 6'2", 244. I mean, he scored 12 touchdowns running, had a receiving touchdown, 32 receptions coming out of the backfield in Big Ten play. So he's definitely someone to keep your eye on come the April draft.
And everybody talks about Andy Reid, pass, pass, pass. We've seen Andy Reid with guys like Le'Veon Bell. Of course, LeSean McCoy comes to mind. But Le'Veon Bell is a guy that Andy Reid can use. I love this guy at Michigan State. One, he did almost all the work for them. They worked this guy a lot. And running a lot of leads and NFL-type plays where it was Le'Veon Bell a lot. Now I'm a Northwestern fan. He fumbled at the one, helped Northwestern beat him. But anyway, the point is I think this would be a great addition. But that kind of guy, get enough skill, he can catch a pass. He's not just a, you know, a plotter-type guy. But I think in that third, fourth, fifth round, you can even find a running back like this.
Yeah, and when you talk about these guys aren't even near their peak, so they're going to come here. They're going to get taught by the best of the best, the cream of the crop coaching staff that we have here, and then the sky's the limit from there. Come in, training camps, OTAs, get taught, work hard, nose of the grindstone, and then see what happens come season.
Well, great work. This just we keep just kind of tapping the cymbals here, getting ready for the big crescendo at the end of April. And a lot's been going on for this team, but again, a lot of positive things as Kansas City gets ready for that 1-1 pick at the end of April. Reed, great work once again, buddy.
Thanks. It's honor to be here, Mitch. Can't wait till a snapper, just keeping your seat warm, buddy.
Oh, yeah, the snapper. He's out there somewhere. He's like traveling the earth trying to, you know, solve all the world's problems. But that's what the snapper does. That's
right.
Why he is the snapper. But you are Reed Farron, doing a great job as a Chiefs insider.
Thank you.
So stay hooked up with us because there seems to be news coming out of One Arrowhead Drive all the time.